5-4.
Hi, and welcome to Food Forest Walk, a podcast about permaculture-designed food forest ecosystems. I'm Leah Levice, reminding you that this is a slideshow. You can see the plants that are mentioned in your Podcast 2.0 app. Go to podcastapps.com to download your new modern podcast app and get the most out of this podcast. Without further ado, let's join Karen Lusius at the Festival Beach Food Forest.
This is one of my favorite trees. This is a native. This is completely native to Texas. It's called Rusty Blackhaw Viburnum. It's a lot of words, but it's a Rusty Blackhaw Viburnum. It's really beautiful. In the spring, it gets these big, round, white flowers that are really pretty. It's already done that. Now they're turning into berries. What we like to use this for, its medicinal superpower, is that this is really similar to cramp bark. And this is kind of our Texas version of cramp bark. So you could use it in the same way. It's antispasmodic. So you would, if you were trimming the branches up, because you do that anyway, instead of composting them, you can tincture them, or you can dry them for tea or tincture them. And it's antispasmodic. So you can use it the same way you would use cramp bark. So just to kind of chill out. And let me mention this really quick. You might wonder, why does she have little pansies in the garden, you know? What's that doing in a permaculture garden? Well, this particular kind is called Johnny Jump Up, so they reseed. One, like, pansies and violets are edible. And a lot of people don't know that, but they are. I mean, not only can you put the cute little things on your salads and whatever, you can actually eat it. You can also make a tea with it. But these are great because they reseed. Remember how I said we like to just have perennials? We're going to include some annuals too, but it's going to be like 90% perennial. But that's an annual that reseeds, so that's almost like perennial. But we do include some annuals because, like, annuals are great, you know? This is an interesting bush. It's a guava, pineapple guava, I believe it's called. It gets a fruit that's about this big. It's green, and when it's ripe, it falls on the ground. It never changes color. It's green. But it does taste like a cross between, it's very tropical tasting. It tastes kind of like a cross between a guava and, you know, just some tropical thing. And it's real tasty. And the flowers are gorgeous. They're just these pink and red. And they taste like cinnamon candy. It tastes like cinnamon candy to me. I don't know if you've ever tasted them. But they're really, really good. But don't eat them all because then you won't get the fruit. And this is pollinated by birds. So you have to have birds on this one to get the fruit. It's kind of interesting. And then this big giant tree back here, pear. This is a pear tree. And boy, was this beautiful when it was blooming like a month ago. Oh my God, it was so beautiful. It was just amazing. It was just white flowers up in the sky. It was so gorgeous. So we have a lot of lemon balm in here. Lemon balm is pretty amazing and wonderful. It's in the mint family. It looks a lot like mint, but it has sort of this lemony. It is edible. It's easy to grow. And it's very easy to grow. In some places, it just grows wild. Yeah. Up north, I think it just grows wild. Here, you're going to have to plant it. But it will spread. It's just easy to grow. And it tastes good. The tea is amazing, and so it helps settle your tummy. It's really good for, like, nervous indigestion. It's a nervine. It's an herb that works on your nervous system and just chills you out. It's a chill-out herb. Chills you out. It's uplifting. It's calming. It helps with your nervous tummy. It's also antiviral. So they make a cream. You can make medicine with it that's antiviral. A lot of people use it for, like, herpes and shingles and things like that, or mixed with St. John's wort. But you can just eat it. So some herbs, they're just so safe, you can just eat them, you know. So this one, I love it chopped up on melon. I like it on fruit. I like it on melon. I like it on pineapple. It's just really good. We better hurry. It might rain on us. This is like look at the sky. And then this is wonderful too. This is borage, and it has these little beautiful little flowers, and it's a wonderful herb. And that tree right there, that's a hawthorn tree. It's called a mayhaw. It's a hawthorn tree. So hawthorn is really good for your heart. It's like a heart tonic. It's like one of the best heart tonics there is hawthorn. It lowers your blood pressure, and it tones your arteries and your heart, and it's just a wonderful heart herb, and it tastes good. The tea is really good. It's in the rose family. It's in the same family with roses, and it's really good mixed with rose petals. We're going to talk a little bit about berms and swales because we're on a berm and swale. See this little hill here? This little hill that I'm standing on? This is called a berm, which is really just a little hill. And then where you're standing right now, this is a swale. So what a swale is it is a ditch that is dug and filled with mulch. Over there, when you were walking on a path, and that was solid. But do you see how this is kind of spongy? The difference is that this is just a ditch filled with mulch. The purpose of this is, in permaculture, is to collect water so that you are capturing all the resources on your site. You want to keep the resources on your site, and you want to capture the resources on your site. Everyone in Texas knows sometimes we get flash floods, right? And the water just runs off. In permaculture, when you build the berms, you build them on contour. So you look to see which direction the water's flowing from. So right here in this spot, the water's flowing in this direction because that's higher, so it's coming this direction right here in this spot. So we build the berm here, we build the swale here, and then when the water comes up here, it sinks and it's held in the ground. So we got the moisture there. So instead of running off, it's held in the ground. And then everything that's planted on here, all these trees and all these plants, their roots can just reach out and get that moisture. Even in the hot, hot, hot summer, there's still moisture down there and the roots are down there. They can access that. Another fun fact is, so these are nitrogen fixers. Remember we were talking about nitrogen fixers? So this one is called Golden Ball Lead Tree. This tree right here, this is a nitrogen fixer. That big one over there, that's a nitrogen fixer. That one is called Arroyo Sweetwood. This one here, that's more like a bush with the white flowers on it, that one is called Anacacha Orchid. It's really pretty. This right here, this is Anacacha Orchid. So this is also a nitrogen fixer. One fun thing is that when the water flows this way, it's picking up nitrogen. The water that is captured in this swale, well, guess what? It's not only is it moist, but it's also got some of that nitrogen in it. All the permaculture techniques are designed to do as much as possible with whatever you have. Let's talk about roses. We have some roses. So this one, we have this one here. When I get roses, I get ones that are fragrant. If I'm shopping for roses, I only shop for them when they're blooming. And I don't pick something just because it's pretty. I pick something that's really fragrant. We're gonna go smell all these roses. And then this is what I make tea out of, the petals of fragrant roses, because that makes this really great tea. Rose petals, they're astringent and they're also moistening at the same time. So they're really good for skincare products because they're both. Just think of a toner. That's astringent, but it's also moistening, and also it smells like roses. What could be better? It's amazing. You can make creams, and you can make... I love the tea. I'm just such a fan, because whatever it's doing on your skin, it's also doing inside. It's really pretty wonderful. This one actually makes hips, too. We have some back on the fence that make pretty big hips. Of course, not as big as up north. Up north, they have roses that make giant hips. Like, we're lucky to get one this big. But we have one that's real tasty that tastes like little apples. Yeah, we just don't have that down here like they have up north.
Rose hip, right?
Rose hip, yeah.
Now what is the hip?
After the rose happens, there's this little fruit that happens, and that's the rose hip. And they're really good. They're high in vitamin C. You can make jam, you can make tea, they taste good. This is all calendula. Usually I plant it in the fall, and then it's like going nuts right now. But sometimes when you plant it in the fall, it freezes, and it's really hard to cover everything. So this is spring planted, but this is calendula right here. It gets these beautiful yellow and orange flowers, and it is a skin healer. It's very healing. That one is really good for creams and stuff. It's so healing to the skin. It's also good for your heart. Like, it makes a nice tea. It has a lot of great uses. We also have peppermint growing in here. Peppermint, everybody knows that smell. Of course, we make tea with the peppermint. Peppermint is so good for the tummy. It's such a good tea just for settling your tummy. This is the pineapple guava, and these are the little fruits that are forming. See? It's making these little fruits. So we're going to have fruit this year, but they're usually not ripe until the fall. You can see how teeny tiny they are right now. Mm-hmm. But in the fall, this should be covered with these wonderful tropical fruits. This is another kind of hawthorn. Hawthorn is good for the heart. And there's a lot of these, and this is comfrey. We'll see more of it. You'll see it all over the food forest. Comfrey is one of those ones that I told you about that is a nutrient accumulator. Mm-hmm. So it goes down deep and pulls up all the nutrients. That's comfrey right there. Let's go this way. We're going to smell some roses. We are going to stop and smell the roses. And you are going to be amazed. Both of these are really, really fragrant. We have the pink ones over there. We have the peach-colored ones over here. Well, you just have to come smell them. What I would do is I would gather them right before they fall. So you don't want to gather...
Well, I mean, that looks fresh.
It does. You could. You could pick all those up. But what I would do is I would try to get them before they fall, but not buds. If I see it like that...
You just put something under it?
I do. So I have a basket that I put under it, and then I snip right into the basket, and I just let it fall. So these are ready to harvest. And then these are not quite ready to harvest, like the little ones. But all the ones that are big and fully open, they will just fall right into your basket. You just chop them. Everybody smell the roses. So I just wanted you to smell for yourself and not take my word for it. When I say pick fragrant ones, I mean pick fragrant ones. You can't really tell unless they're blooming. I only buy roses when they're blooming, and then you smell them.
You don't have them named.
I do. This pink one here is called Maggie. Yeah, this one is called Maggie. And then that peachy colored one over there is called Savannah. Any fragrant rose will do. These are just my two favorites. I tend to plant my favorite things in the food forest. So these are my two favorite. Pruning the roses is a lot. It's a lot. But we do it on Valentine's Day every year. February 14th, we prune the roses. That's the best time in Texas to prune the roses. And it's just easy to remember because it's like, you know, Valentine's Day, prune the roses. And I want to point out one more plant. That's this lovely thing here. This is motherwort. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite herbs. It's really good for the heart, motherwort. And it's an antispasmodic. So it relaxes every type of muscle in your body. So it relaxes your striated muscles that move your arms and legs. It relaxes all the internal ones, like your esophagus and your internal organs. And it also relaxes heart muscle. Those are the three different kinds of muscle that you have. And motherwort relaxes all three. So it's a really effective relaxer. This is a plant that will help with stress because it's very relaxing. And it's also very good for your heart. So it's used for heart...
palpitations.
Yeah. It's good for palpitations. Yes. Yeah, this is known as a women's herb. This is your friend if you're a woman. But a man can use it too. You can make tea, you can make tincture, you can make all kinds of different medicines from it. Right now it's soft like this, but this is where the flower will come out. And yeah, so it gets pokey. But you actually, if you're making medicine, you want to harvest it right before it gets pokey. So it's in full bloom, but before it gets pokey and spiky. That's the sweet spot when you want to harvest it if you're going to make medicine. It's a wonderful medicinal herb. And we have it in a couple different places here. Yeah, it will spread.
The flower has a lot of little seeds. So
yeah.
You got to keep an eye on it.
It will spread. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get all these things to spread so that there's more and more and more. So there's more for people to harvest. Some things we have a lot. So there's like everyone can just harvest. And some things we're just trying to increase so that there's enough. Some of the things, like if there's not enough, it's more like we're getting it going and it's educational, you know, and but at some point there'll be like a huge patch of it. And so that's our goal. Oh, I think you better smell this one too. Okay, pass this around. As far as smell goes, it might be one of my very favorites. That one is called Lemon Verbena. It's just delightful. And then the Comfrey is a really good tissue healer. It's really good for sprains and fractures. And it also heals skin real fast, real fast. So you might want to use something else first if there's infection. And then use this after the infection is gone. Because it has some mechanism where it just heals things up real fast.
So would you just break it up or put it into a paste? Or
yeah, people do make them poultice out of it.
Okay.
Yarrow would be the best. We'll go look at the yarrow. But this is really good. And so, but what you have to do with herbs, you have to break the cell walls. So you can chew it up, you can pound on it, you can put it in boiling water, but you have to break the cell walls to get the good stuff out. If you just need to use it right away, then you can pound it or chew it up or something like that. But to get the good stuff out, you have to break the cell walls. And then this is loquat. So look at all the fruits on the loquat. We're so excited because sometimes they freeze. But we got loquats this year. They did not freeze. These are tasty. They're sweet. The fruit is good. It's sweet. It's just this nice fruit you can eat. The leaves, you can make tea out of. And a lot of people didn't know that. So this is not a native Texas plant. This is native to China. And it's popular in China and Japan, the tea. Like if you go to like a Asian market, you'll find like boxes of loquat tea and loquat this and loquat that. And it's made from the leaves typically. And you would think if you made tea out of this that it would be this green stuff. Well, it's not, it's pink. It's so weird. Like you chop it up and you cook it and it's like pink and it's like pleasant. And then if you dry it, then it's orange. But it's tasty, it's good. It does have some mild medicinal benefits. I know it's good for coughs. I've included it in like cough syrup blends. Oh, and this, I have to mention this one. This is Vitex.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is. It's Vitex. And I just had to include it because this is another one of those really amazing herbs. This one balances hormones. It's really useful for women. But I think it's useful for men too. Some of the lore of this plant is that it was used, they called it monk's pepper because the monks used it to calm their libido, you know. You know how Vitex gets those beautiful purple blooms? They're really pretty. You see it everywhere. It's just this pretty landscaping plant. And then they turn into these green berries. And then they turn sort of a golden color. When they turn a golden color and they come off easy, that's when you can harvest it. You know, and then you kind of hammer it a little bit and you can make a tincture or whatever for your own use. But if you leave it on, they'll turn black. And they really do look like peppercorns. Mm-hmm. And you really can grind them up that way. But anyway, that's just lore that I've heard, monk's pepper. The city of Austin considers this invasive. There's a few things in the food forest that I just snuck in anyway because they're medicinal. And of course, when it's really bad is if you're near like a riparian area, like a creek or a river or a stream, because these can invade a riparian area and then compete with the natives, so you don't want that. But here in the middle of the food forest, I don't think it's gonna be a problem, and I just thought it deserved a place on the medicine berm, so I planted it.
Spread? And
yeah.
That's how they invade, or is it dropping?
Oh, spirit? it's the berries. It's the berries. Yeah, it's the berries. Yeah, for sure. I think you can control certain things, and then other things, like if you're near a sensitive area, then you wouldn't want to do it. This is mugwort. You might want to pass this around and give it a smell. It's mugwort, and
it really smells nice.
Yes, it's an artemisia, and there's a lot of different kinds of artemisia. This one is native to Texas, and it spreads. The lore around this plant is it was used by the Druids. The lore of this plant is that it's really good for dream work. It gives you, like, amazing dreams. There's a lot of esoteric lore around this plant, a lot. But it also has some very practical things. It's a bitter herb. Bitter herbs are good for digestion. You can make a nice tea out of it. It is bitter. You can eat it, but it's bitter. There's a lot of other uses of the plant. So we have nitrogen fixers everywhere. This one, let's just look at it. This one is called Vetch, and it gets these pretty purple flowers on it. But this is just another nitrogen fixing cover crop. We have them everywhere. It's actually called hairy vetch, and it's one of our nitrogen fixers.
The Festival Beach Food Forest is a regenerative agroforestry system in Austin, Texas. You can find volunteer opportunities and a calendar of events at festivalbeach.org. You can also donate to Festival Beach and sign up for the newsletter at festivalbeach.org. Thanks for joining this walk today. This is Leah Levice, and I'll see you at the Food Forest.